Good morning.
Good morning.
So before we get started, let's open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we give thanks unto Thee that we have another opportunity to show forth Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst work in our hearts, every single one of us, to the glory of God. We think of all those the prayers that have gone up, add or amen. For truly, Lord, Thou dost care about every single one. So we just pray that Thou bless us today as we meditate upon Thy Word and give thanks for our Lord Jesus, in that worthy and precious name. Amen. So here we are again with the chart. I hope you're not getting tired of it. But we've covered a lot over here. And it's two roads, two destinies, down in hell or up in heaven. And we've got to a point now where we've covered so far this age, and we're now going to start covering things that are hereafter. And the first thing that happens over here is the rapture. So we want to talk a little bit about that. So we can start our reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's two places in the scriptures that commonly get read when it refers to the rapture. This is one of them. We'll read the other one as well, but it seems like the only time you ever hear these scriptures or read them is at a funeral. But they have some relevance, really. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start at verse 51. Now, we have to realize, before I read this, that this is written to believers. This isn't written to just the general population of everybody. It's only written to those that have trusted Christ and are saved. So we have to remember that there's who it's written to. So verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So here we have the rapture. We have a time that's coming up in which the Lord is going to return to the air, and all the saints of God are going to be called up to the air, to meet the Lord in the air. And you can almost picture it happening. When all of a sudden, all the saints are gone, and you have people that have been raised from the dead looking back and saying, see that grave down there where they had died? It didn't keep them. They're now gone. So it's going to be a song of victory. Then, of course, you'll have those like us, maybe, Lord willing, that are still alive, and the Lord comes, and we're going to say, death never reached us. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? So you'll have a duet. You'll have two companies of people singing of victory. And there's a day coming which that's really going to happen. And you can just picture the joy of meeting the Lord in the air and then being done with this world. The other place I wanted to read was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's where the other one is. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll start reading at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the rapture is going to happen. And we can realize how fast it's going to happen when we read in the twinkling of an eye. Very quickly it's going to happen. There isn't going to be all of a sudden, you know, a slow descent or ascent to heaven. It's going to be very fast. And the one thing I wanted to notice was it says that I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not others as others which have no hope. I wanted to speak a little bit about that, no hope. Think about it. God is saying that there's a group of people in which have no hope, none whatsoever, none. Who's he speaking about? You know, he's talking about those that are sorrowing, first of all. He's talking about those that have died, that never got saved, that never trusted Christ, that never had a Savior of their own. And what he's saying here is, those that sorrowed for those, you can understand, did you ever see somebody who maybe wept, was so hard because they lost a loved one? And they wept so hard that they're basically out of control. Just, it hurt. So what he's saying here is, there's a group of people that are worth sorrowing over because they have no hope. They're gone into eternity, a lost eternity, forever. Think about it. They'll be in hell suffering without an end. They will be enduring the pains of hell that will never come to an end. There's no hope of pain relief. None. There's no hope of ever being saved again. No hope whatsoever. There's no alternative. There's no other way. You can never tell somebody after a million years there's a possibility you could make it into heaven. God says there's no hope. No hope at all. No hope of ever being in heaven. None. I wonder if everybody here can say that they're saved and don't have to be part of that group. Or would you be one of the ones that would die and leave behind people that are going to weep for you and cry because there's no hope that you'll ever be saved? Think about it. And it's all because you refused to accept the Savior. It wasn't because you were bad. It wasn't because of your sin. It was because you didn't accept the man who took your place. If you enter into eternity without Christ, there's no hope. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, I sometimes have a habit of putting things off that I think I'm going to enjoy it better if I do something else first. You know, an example might be, well, I'm going to work mega, mega hours so I can get a better house. I'm going to work mega, mega hours so that I can pay for some other great thing. And then I will spend time more with the family or something. I have a tendency to put things off once in a while, thinking that if I put it off, I'll enjoy it better. You know, when it comes to salvation, it's something you need now. You can't look at your life and say, I'll think about salvation when I get my life cleaned up, or if I'm doing better things, or thinking that in some way or other that if you put off thinking about salvation now, you'll be better off when you get there. That's not the case. It is the most important thing. Because you can't get back lost time. And if you find yourself into eternity, there's absolutely no time you'll ever get back. Salvation needs to be the first priority in your life. Don't ever think that you're going to enjoy being saved later by putting it off because you have something else you want to take care of first. You can't get back lost time. So what are you doing with your time? You know, the verse we read said that those that sleep in Jesus or have died in Christ, what does that mean? It's those that have decided before they died that Christ was their Savior. It's those that have, in their life, while they were still alive, decided that they wanted a substitute to pay the price in hell for them. Those that have died in Christ are the ones that looked at the cross of Calvary and they said, that man that's suffering on the cross of Calvary and being punished by God was for me. Those are the people that have died in Christ that can honestly say that that man died for them. And it says here that only those are the ones coming back with him. When he comes at the rapture to the air, he's going to bring all those people that have died in Christ. And we're going to meet them in the air with our Lord. So when he says that those that sleep in Jesus, those that have died in Christ, are the ones that have trusted Christ before they died. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep and all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, they look at the fact, they look around them and they think, where is the rapture? We've heard about it for years. They're scoffing at it's ever going to happen. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, it's God's will for every single person in this room to be saved. It's God's will for every single person in this room not to be in hell. That's God's will. What is your will? Are you willing to take the Lord Jesus as your substitute? Are you willing to take the man that died on the cross of Calvary as the man who's going to suffer the pains of hell instead of you? That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to admit that you're a sinner and you need to be saved and then trust him for what he did at the cross for you. God isn't slack concerning his promise. There is a rapture coming. There is a day coming in which the saints of God will be called away. And if you look around you right now, especially maybe not in this room, but out at the workplace or school or wherever you are, there is no urgency to get saved. There is no bunch of people around you going, you've got to get saved. You've got to trust Christ. You won't see it. But if you look at the Word of God and you look at the apostles and all that they did to preach the Word of God, you'll see that there was a great urgency to get it settled. Because they felt at that time the Lord was becoming any time now. I hope you're not one of those people that look around you and think, I'll wait. There's probably a million people that thought that they would wait, and then instead they died. Don't put it off. So when is it going to happen? When is the rapture going to happen? Well, the Bible doesn't give a date. I do know that there's a lot of theories. This timeline here, we're in this church age right now, and today's date I put over here, right next to the rapture. There's a bunch of theories that say this rapture is going to happen in the middle of this tribulation period or after it, because they take it out of context. I'll just say that this rapture is going to happen before this tribulation period, which we'll speak also about. And I just want to say that 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." We have to understand that this tribulation period that we're going to eventually speak about is a period of judgment. God is going to be sending judgment to this world, into this earth. We're not there. We're not under the judgment of God right now. We're under the grace of God. I just got done saying God's already, his will is already that everybody should be saved. And he's trying to save as many people as he can right now in this church age. Some of the other reasons I want to show from God's word that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation, because when we look at history of whenever God did send judgment, he got his people away first. You look at Lot. Lot and his family came out from Sodom and Gomorrah before God sent judgment. We look at Noah. Noah was saved and his family before God sent judgment. If you know the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they were trying to take over Moses' position. And God said, "Separate yourselves from these people." And all the people separated themselves first. Then God sent judgment to these people, and they went alive down into the pit. You look at the Israelites with the Egyptians, how God separated them. Whenever God sent judgment, he took his people out first. This tribulation period is a period of judgment. The rapture is going to happen first, because God is not giving us to wrath, it says in his word. It says in John 12 and 47, the Lord Jesus says, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." The Lord wants to save every single person here. Every single one. That doesn't mean, you know, we're not going to see increase of earthquakes. It doesn't mean we're not going to see wars. It doesn't mean we're going to see all kinds of nasty things in this world, in this earth. But if you read and study the scriptures, you'll find out that during the tribulation period, it'll be tons worse. Just tons worse. You know, God does give some ideas about this part of it. It says the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation. It's very interesting because God's telling us some things that are going to happen in here before this event occurs. We know that we don't know the exact time. It says in Matthew 24 and 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." But he also goes on to say in he says, "Learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." It's interesting that God, the Lord Jesus, tells of some things that are going to happen here when they get very, very close to this point here. And I just wanted to mention a couple things. I know we went over this in our Bible study, but it's interesting. It says, "Learn a parable of a fig tree." Now, if you study scriptures, the fig tree represents Israel many times. So you look at the country of Israel. And it says, "When you see a branch, it is tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near." When we consider Israel, Israel was not even a nation for over 1,900 years. It's quite a few years. But it's only within the last 77 years now that they became a nation. It's like all of a sudden they're that branch that all of a sudden put forth a leaf. It doesn't have fruit yet, but it's putting it forth. They're now a nation. In 1948, they became a nation. Only 77 years ago. And there's a few people here that were alive when that happened. And which is also interesting, too, is it could be within a generation of that. I didn't read the scriptures, but it thought that it could happen within a generation of when that's going to happen. It's going to be close. I honestly think we're pretty close. There's other things that they're going to happen, which I'm not going to go into all the different scriptures about these things. But the beast of Revelation, you know, eventually we may speak about the 666. Right here. You know, people, what's going to happen is the beast, the Antichrist, they're going to give everybody a number because he's going to have his own economy. And everybody's going to have a number or part of that number in order to take part in his economy. And you probably won't have much choice because it's the only one that'll exist. It won't be the American dollar, probably. Maybe a Bitcoin, I don't know. But the thing of it is, you know, when people used to read the scriptures, they would say, well, how could that possibly be possible that everybody could get a number? And it just thinks to me of how computers today have changed so much. How literally God's word is going to be fulfilled. Not by symbolic things, but in physical actuality, God can fulfill his word. You know, he talks about the mark of the beast in the hand or the forehead. Whether you've heard these or not, I'm not going to go into great detail, but the thought is that when you're going to be part of his economy, you're going to either have a mark in your hand or your forehead. And, you know, I work with some technology today called RFID. It's very fantastic in what it can do for you. And it can give you a unique ID such that, you know, there's no other one with that number. And it's a positive number because, you know, if it was part of your hand or under your skin or whatever, that's the only way you can prove that it's really you. You're not borrowing somebody else's credit card or whatever. It's either you or it's not. So you can see the technology that's available today to fulfill God's word to a T. In Daniel, there's a prophecy. It says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Air travel alone just started in the early 1900s. It's a little over 100 years ago. Many are running to and fro. How much people can move back and forth. And Daniel's talking about the end days. He's not talking about, you know, something that's going to be a lot further than that. And knowledge shall be increased. Think about the computers. It was only during the early 1980s that you could get a home computer. And I can remember all of that stuff growing up and getting, you know, our first computer and learning about all that stuff. And now you got phones, you got AI, you got all this stuff. Knowledge is increasing incredibly much. I can remember when I was a kid, you know, the biggest fascinating thing was a walkie-talkie. So you could talk to your friends just next door. And then it went to CB radios. We used to have a CB radio in the car, and we had a base station in the house, so we could talk to the neighbors, see what the kids were doing. And then it just kept on growing. And of course, today you've got everything, a cell phone. You can see the fulfillment of prophecy of things that are going to happen. You can see the things that are going to happen before this point. And I can tell you from God's word, there's only 7 years between here. So where are we right here? If we can see what's going to happen in here. We got to be pretty close. But are you ready for it? Are you ready for the rapture to happen? You know, there's a lot of things that are going to happen after the rapture. Things are going to start changing. First thing, this door. This door right here is going to be shut. The door is shut forever, it says. In Jeremiah 8 and 20, it says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Think of the harvest as a day in which the rapture happens. A day in which God sends his son, the rapture happens, and all the Christians are gone. This world no longer has a single Christian on it. It's like a harvest. And the summer has ended, the opportunity to get saved. The biggest thing that you have to worry about while you're sitting here is that door being shut, and you weren't saved. That's the biggest thing you have to worry about. It says in Luke 13, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. In Matthew it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have done cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What we see is a lot of religious people that never got into the door before it was shut. You'll have all kinds of people that think that they were religious, they went to church, they did good things, but they never knew Christ as their Savior. They never accepted the man that was on the cross dying for them. They never understood that Christ was being punished by God instead of them. So they're outside the door, and that door is shut. And it's shut forever for every single person that heard the gospel and didn't get saved. That's when that door gets shut at the rapture. And I have to say from God's word that every single person in here has heard the gospel, that they need to be saved. If you miss it, you will never even be able to get saved afterwards. After the rapture. Never. There's no hope. In fact, you could read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about that. God's given you an opportunity to be saved today. But if you don't get saved before the rapture or before you die, there's no hope for you to be saved afterwards. God's word is sending judgment to the world, and you're part of that judgment. Because you refused it, because you rejected it, because you heard what Christ did for you and you refused it. You know, there's going to be a sad day when you hear all kinds of people thinking that they deserve to be in heaven, but they never made it because they didn't trust Christ. And right now it's God's will that everybody should be saved. And the reason they're not saved isn't because their sin was bad. It isn't because of how great their sin was. It wasn't because of what they did. It's because they rejected the substitute. They rejected the man that God punished instead of the sinner. That's why people are going to suffer in the lake of fire. This morning, we spoke a little bit about the rapture. It's going to change things in this world. The first thing is, this door is going to be shut. So I guess I'm running out of time. There's other things we could speak about, the marriage supper and the Great Tribulation starting, the souls that are in hell. You have to understand that when the rapture happens, all the bodies of the saved ones are going to go up to here and meet the Lord in the air. All those that were in the grave that were not saved, there's another resurrection, but it comes happen over here, which we'll speak about in another day. In fact, there's a verse that I didn't read. If I can find it. It says in John 5, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's two resurrections, one of the saved and one of the lost. Which one are you going to be in? Which one will you be in? This is all from God's word. I'm not making this up. You need to be saved. You need to accept what Christ has did for you. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge of how your sins are taking you to hell. But then look at Christ and what he did for you at the cross to take your place. There is no other alternative. You don't want to be part of the ones that say, no hope. No hope. Because after death, there is no hope if you're lost. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto thee this morning for our Lord Jesus, that there is a man who cares about us. There's a man that wants to see everybody saved, wants to see everybody in heaven. But there are so many that have refused him. They've neglected to put it off. We just pray, Lord, that the word of God would convict their hearts and their souls of the truth, that they might be saved. We pray that thou hast blessed us now as we part. We give thanks for thy kindnesses to us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.